start with headlines you need to know. A little lost nugget here from the NFL collective bargaining agreement approved in March. It's quietly brought some changes to training camp rules for the NFL that are impactful. Remember, it used to be that teams were required to report to training camp 15 days before their preseason opener. Now, 30 NFL teams must now report July 28th, which is 48 days before the kickoff of the season. So that date needs to be circled on everybody's calendar as we start to look ahead and figure out how the NFL is going to find equal balance for everybody across all lines. Speaking of the NFL, as a Raiders fan, this is the, you know, not the best of news for me and my fandom. Some interesting notes coming out for the Raiders. U.S. Marshals and the Drug Enforcement Agency seized a number of loaded assault rifles and handguns during a search of the Youngstown home of local football standout Lynn Bowden. Remember, Bowden, standout at University of Kentucky, was drafted by the Raiders in the third round. They were at his house. Bowden stood on the porch. He was in handcuffs. Other people were in the house. Remember, police do often handcuff people while they search a home, even if no one is arrested. No one has been arrested. Sources said police have made a number of undercover drug buys at the home, but they do not know at this point if Bowden has been involved in any of the activity. We haven't yet heard anything from the Raiders. We'll see what that means moving forward for him in the beginning of his career with Las Vegas. And lastly, in the headlines you need to know, a little bit of positive a note here. Got another league ready to come back. MLS has unveiled its plan for returning to the play in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. The league is going to set to resume on July 8th with what it's calling the MLS is Back tournament. All 26 MLS teams will participate in the competition. It'll be held at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex at the Walt Disney World Resort, just outside Orlando. So the MLS, NBA, both choosing Orlando as their central location. At this point, we know that they will start, teams will head to Orlando starting June 24th. Arrival dates will vary because most teams will prefer to train in their home markets, but they have to arrive no later than 7 days before their first match. So they will start their season with a tournament. Also interesting, for the remainder of the 2020 MLS season, Nashville will be moved to the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference will have three groups, one consisting of six teams, two consisting of four teams each. So at this point, Nashville, just for this year, it looks like, will be moved over to the Eastern Conference. Just a big note for Nashville moving up to MLS, finally having meaningful soccer they can play, as obviously when you have new franchises starting up, you never want to be starting behind the eight ball. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitch. You know you can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can also get in on the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. And we're going to start with some Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Now, the Straight Talk comes from First Take. And it comes on a controversial topic for so many people. When I say the name Colin Kaepernick, everybody immediately shuts down. Everybody has their preconceived notions. Everybody shuts down. I said it yesterday. The anthem debate and kneeling during the anthem is something that I think most people have made their mind up on, and nobody listens anymore. I don't know that we can get anybody to listen, but I do know this. First Take had an interesting conversation today about what should happen with Colin Kaepernick. Remember, at this point, Colin Kaepernick doesn't have an NFL job, but should he play if the NFL offers him a contract? Max and Dominique Foxworth disagreed this morning on First Take.
My, how things have changed. I mean, my response is no. Is no, because maybe honestly, the more I explore it and think about it, it's probably just because I'm petty and Kaepernick is probably a better person than me. But I feel like the NFL doesn't deserve that. They need Cap now. Back when Cap needed them to have his back and Cap needed them to give him an opportunity to help their team out. By the way, I think about the Jacksonville Jaguars often as a team that was on the cusp of winning a championship, but refused to entertain Colin Kaepernick as a possibility and missed out on their opportunity because he's certainly would have been the difference in that situation. But back when he needed them, they weren't there. And so it kind of bothers me now that when they need him, because as we get further from this situation, we go 10 years from now when 30 for 30s are done about this period and books are written about this period, the NFL, if Cap comes back in, it's possible that the NFL could be viewed as a hero in this situation. Like, this is a redemption arc. They were wrong at the beginning, and then they figured it out, and they got on the right side of things. I don't think they deserve deserve that, frankly. And that's the reason why I say Cap should not accept a job, because when Cap needed them, they weren't there for him. They were the opposite of not there for him. They were actively blackballing him out of the league. So it's hard for me to get over that for Cap, but he's probably a better man than me and understands that being a part of the league again will give an opportunity to hold the league accountable and continue to bring up these issues. So maybe he will, and I hope if he does, most importantly, he continues to bring attention to the issues that are important to him. But I really hope he plays well, because I would hate for that to be ammunition on the other side of this story.
Well, this is why I love when you do the show, Dominique, because you are thoughtful about these things and sometimes come to counterintuitive positions. But I disagree with you. Let me start by saying I relate to what you're saying. Cap is a better man than you, right? It reminds me of Nelson Mandela being elected president and reconciling. He's a better man than me. That's not exactly the way it felt like I might have handled that situation, but it is in fact the mature thing to do. Let's say, because the impulse to not let that happen is throughout history too often, even if the kind of moral trajectory is, Dr. Martin Luther King said, you know, it bends towards justice, but too often the bad guys get away with it, right? You don't want to let them off the hook. But in fact, what kind of outcome should we actually hope for? Should we hope for? To be better people, right? Do we want the NFL? Well, we won't be able to co-opt this thing, and then NFL films in 30 for 30, and the retro pay. The NFL did the right thing, but we do want them to do the right thing. We do want them to change, even if the behavior doesn't reflect the inner hearts of the owners of teams. Who cares? It's the behavior that we care about. So if the NFL, even because, and by the way, there are lots of reasons to not like PC culture. PC culture has run amok in various instances, in safe spaces in college and other places, and I get some resentment about that. But it can also be a force for good. And even if it's simply being scared of PC or cancel culture or whatever, there's great, great if they will actually conform to righteous behavior, because the behavior is what I'm interested in. And now, so that's the point of view of, like, don't let the bad guys get away with it. No, you want to bring people into the fold. That's the first thing. Now for Kaepernick. Should he play? You know, there's a difference beyond... So one of the differences between Muhammad Ali, say, on the one hand, and Kurt Flood on the other. Kurt Flood never got another job. Muhammad Ali became the greatest fighter or greatest heavyweight who ever lived. Like, part of the reason we still talk about him is his platform was amplified, not by simply martyring himself on the cause and never being the same guy again or never fighting again after his exile, but because he came back against the odds and beat George Foreman and others. And whether we like it or not, the reason we're interested in Kaepernick in the first place is football. And the better he does going forward, even as a football player, maybe especially as a football player, in a perverse way, the more he will have a platform, in fact, to deliver the message, and the more like a winner he will be recorded by in history. So I think the idea, because that entails risk, right? Like, what if he falls on his face? Whoa, this way he martyrs himself. They don't co-opt him. He can't fail. The other way entails risk. And yet I think there is bigger reward, to say nothing of the fact that Cap might be like, I'm one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world, which is true if you can play on that level in the NFL. Even one of the best 35 quarterbacks in the league, having been to a Super Bowl and all that. I'm not ready to give this up. In a few years, I'll never be able to do this again. But damn it, right now, I can do this.
Right.
For all those reasons, I think he should take a job.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. One of the most interesting things to me that will always happen when it comes to the Colin Kaepernick conversation is the fact is we've heard so little from him directly that it feels like everybody's speculating on what he wants and what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I look forward to the day that he comes out and speaks, whether it's because he's been offered a job and takes it or whether it's because he's been offered a job and doesn't take it. Frankly, what I look forward to finally is hearing from him with real sort of expectation on what he wants and whether or not he got it. First take your take, ESPN Radio. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. We're going to head over now and talk to one of my buddies, one of the best in the business, ESPN soccer analyst Taylor Twellman joins us now. I told you at the beginning in the headlines, MLS has a plan to return. It's interesting to me, Taylor, that we're looking at a plan to return that starts with the tournament in Orlando. What was your reaction to the plan?
Initially, Fitzy, it was like, I'm going to say 3-4 weeks ago when I heard it. I've been on ESPN Radio, on SportsCenter, any, you know, show we have here at ESPN saying something's better than nothing, right? The interesting aspect to Major League Soccer and Major League Baseball is that their seasons hadn't really started, right? MLS had already played two games. That's it. While you look at the rest of the world and even the rest of the leagues in this country, you're at the tail end of it. So you needed to be a little creative. Now, when this plan came about, this was when no states were really opening up. No real governors were saying you could play games in your own stadiums. And so Major League Soccer, with the help of Disney and ESPN a little bit, is that, you know, said, listen, this is an idea. I think it's creative. It jump starts everything. You've got games every single day, 9 a.m., 8, 10:30. It's got a World Cup feel to it. I think it's going to be interesting. And don't be shocked, Jason, at the end of this, in the next couple of years, if the U.S. Open Cup, which is an open market tournament in the United States, that's the longest, it's over 100 years, if it adopts this kind of format, because I think this thing could be a real hit. Now, it's in Orlando. It's in the middle of the summer. It's going to be hot. That's why you have games at 9, 8, and 10:30, because historically, that's when the thunderstorms haven't been around and you limit to the best of your ability the humidity. But these players have been off 6 of the last 8 months. So the quality of games are going to be tested early on. But I'm for the tournament because in a global pandemic, something's better than nothing, my man.
How comfortable would you be if you were playing today, coming back and playing during the pandemic?
I'd be completely fine as long as I know that the health and safety is at the forefront of all the decisions, and that they can, and I say they, the league can promise me to the best of their ability. Obviously, no league's going to promise you 100%. They can't. That's unfathomable. But as long as you promise me over the next 30 days when I am in Orlando, Florida, that hotel and everything is quarantined, testing's a regular part of it, then I'm okay. But I will say this. If a teammate of mine was uncomfortable, I'm not sure I would totally go against him either. I would be open-minded enough and respect it, but from my personal level and my family, I'd be completely fine going down there. But that's also because my family doesn't really want me around for 30 days. You know that.
That's what happens when you get unexpected time home. Yeah. I mean, look, at some point, they're just going to say, hey, don't you have somewhere else to be? You got
yeah,
a job
my bags like, have been packed since like April 1st, so take that for what it's worth.
ESPN soccer analyst Taylor Twellman joining us. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio. You and I, and for anyone that doesn't know, you know, when you're on ESPN campus, you sort of cross paths with people. And I feel like every time I've seen him over the last year, I've asked him a question about Nashville soccer because this is a key moment for a team that has just stepped up to the MLS level, right? So when you're a new team in the MLS, how does this break affect the launch of your franchise?
Well, Jason, it's been a real bumpy road for Nashville. I mean, the season starts and then they have that tornado that absolutely ravished the city, and even some of the players were affected. So I did Nashville's second game of the year in Portland, Oregon, 3 days after those tornadoes. It's just been a bumpy ride, to say the least, for Nashville to come in. I actually believe that the break is good for a team like Nashville because you allow your families and your friends to all get situated. Everyone can get their roots set within the community, within the city. They can train. Now they're going to start training as a team. Listen, player fitness is always going to be a concern when you've been off for 6 of the last 8 months, but that's the rest of the league. So that doesn't affect Nashville any more than LAFC for that matter. But truth be told, I actually think so. It works in their favor because even though this is a global pandemic and yes, they're leaving their families for 30 some odd days, if they go all the way to the semifinal and final, they've allowed to set their roots within the community. I actually think as a group, it works in their favor. I really do.
So when you think about MLS in general, and one of the things that we've talked about for golf and NASCAR is opportunity. You know, but by coming back soon, you get this more eyeballs. You get a bigger opportunity. What's the opportunity here for MLS coming back in this tournament form July 8th? What kind of benefit does the league get?
Well, you're going to see, you're going to get eyeballs that you never really get. And that's because Major League Baseball can't get out of their own way. The NBA is going to be delayed in their decision, even though they are going to Orlando on the coattails of Major League Soccer and that idea. And the NHL hasn't announced their dates either. You're getting eyeballs that you would never get. And you're getting eyeballs consistently. That's the uniqueness of this tournament. Jason, there's a game every day at 9 a.m. It's no different than the World Cup. And you've been on this campus when the World Cup's going on. Everyone's involved. Everyone's engaged because there's a game on. 9 o'clock in the morning, you tell me what their competition's going to be. So you're going to get a lot of eyeballs that you wouldn't get as they are now starting their summer, those fans. Their kids maybe just getting up, breakfast, no different than the EPL when that is on. And then 8 o'clock, 10:30 at nighttime, you're getting the West Coast fan and you're getting the fans as the day winds down. You're going to get some eyeballs that you haven't gotten. Now listen, is there reservation a little bit for me? Because you're not going to see MLS at its glory inside the stadium, 20,000, 30,000 fans. And in this case, in Seattle at Atlanta, 50, 60, 70,000, you're not going to get that. But you're going to see games. You're going to see live action and something you and I and all of us here and everyone around the world has missed. The Bundesliga has reaped the benefits of that. I think golf will see that this weekend. And even NASCAR, my man, they've turned the corner because people are just intrigued for real competition that's live. And you and I don't know about you, but I can only watch so many 2004 Honda Classics that I've watched every Saturday and Sunday over the last 8 to 9 weeks. I'm ready for some live action.
No, you and me both. We're talking to ESPN soccer analyst Taylor Twillman. We're talking about the MLS return. I thought it was interesting this morning. MLS Commissioner Don Garber was on Golic and Wingo and basically said he hasn't had a lot of conversation with the NBA. He's been working in his own scope. Do you buy that?
I do, but what the NBA, whether or not they're honest about it, the NBA saw the plan, and I know this from multiple sources within both leagues, they saw the plan of MLS tournament in Orlando, and they switched gears and focused on Orlando and that city. There was some real divide of whether or not Vegas should be that city. I know Woj reported that on our networks, but the NBA looked at Major League Soccer, looked at what they were doing, looked at how Disney was behind it, and understood that if they come at the end of that tournament, the infrastructure is already being set. Now, the quarantines are going to be different, Jason. That's where it's going to be very intriguing. The players in the NBA are going to have a little bit more freedom, quite honestly, way more freedom than the Major League Soccer players. So how does that affect it? But I agree with Don. Knowing Don, he's not going to sugarcoat this thing as he's been up probably working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week of trying to resurrect the situation. So it doesn't surprise me if he really didn't talk to Adam Silver and company.
So let me, before we let you get out of here, let me ask you a tough question because you were on ESPN a couple of days ago, made strong statements regarding soccer and racism and the way culture lives in soccer. You said that soccer is the most racist sport in the world. So when you're the MLS and you're returning, giving everything that's been going on in America right now, how do you think the league should handle just the anthem and the moment of patriotism and the moment of social justice and what it means?
Well, Major League Soccer released a statement yesterday, Fitz, and it caught me by surprise, but they 100% support the players and their right to do whatever they want during the anthem. What has surprised the absolute heck out of me, buddy, is that we are talking about the German Bundesliga this past weekend and NASCAR leading the sports conversation regarding Black Lives Matter. Now, you tell me when was the last time that happened. It's never. I'll answer the question. Now, in fairness to those two leagues, they're really the only two things going on, right? I understand that. But the fact that I am going to be doing a German Cup semifinal this afternoon on ESPN1, and both teams are being encouraged by their league to support Black Lives Matter. Frankfurt today will wear hashtag Black Lives Matter on their jerseys. Times are changing. This is a tipping point for conversation. Major League Soccer needs to be at the forefront of that. Their statement regarding the anthem starts that conversation. But the Black African American, there's only been five Black coaches in Major League Soccer in 25 years. That has to change. There's only been a handful of black front office management power people in Major League Soccer. That has to change. I know it's at the forefront of Don Garber and the commissioner's office and how they do that. My opinion has always been actions are louder than words in this. And I think you're going to see some real action over the next 12 to 18 months trying to make soccer in power positions more diverse. Now, the truth is it's the most racist sport in the world. The other truth is it's also the most diverse. I mean, Jason, everyone and everyone plays the game of soccer around the world, every nationality. It's just certain nationalities are racist. We've seen World Cup qualifiers with no fans in the stands because that country is based in racism. At the end of 2019, the Serie A in Italy posted pictures of apes in different colors and said no, and it said no to racism, huh? That's 2019. So soccer and racism are ingrained, and that's got to change. But if we're all relying on FIFA to remove their heads from the sand, buddy, you and I are going to be waiting another 50, 60, 70 years because that ain't going to happen.
One thing I'm sure of, Taylor, and that is that the sports community, no matter the sport, can continue to be at the forefront to keeping the conversation going. And I believe to at some level demanding some forced change. I believe that soccer and football and basketball, all sports can take this moment and use it to move forward and press towards something great. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your insight and honesty. Thanks for hanging out with me. The best looking guy on all of ESPN campus. Not going to lie. Taylor Twellman, thank you so much for hanging out. You're allowed to go home now.
Thank you. My doors are locked. I can't go home right now. Can I come over?
You can come over anytime, but only if you can teach me how to have hair that looks half as good as you. I'm telling you, I just need a lesson from Taylor Twellman. My friend, I appreciate
it. Just cut it off my head and tape it on yours. You're good. See you, pal.
We'll try that. Taylor, great stuff. Follow him on Twitter, at Taylor Twellman. Coming up next, the MLBPA has counteroffered to try and get this season underway. The Major League Baseball conversation will not stop as the negotiations are incredibly public. We'll hear from Tim Kirkshin next on what it all means and whether we're any closer to actually getting some sort of baseball. We'll hear that coming up next.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I want your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We haven't really talked to you guys about Major League Baseball. We don't talk a ton about Major League Baseball in general because right now it seems like everybody's going to get fired up. I want your take. Are you out at this point? Are you in? If they figure it out, you're going to watch? Where are you on Major League Baseball? Because the argument on their return has been very public and very nasty. I feel like I've watched friends go through a very public divorce in this situation where the wife thinks that she's making the husband look bad and vice versa, when in reality, all they're doing is making each other look bad. And through the course of the conversation, the more public it gets, the more I wonder if it sort of turns people off or away from the sport. So I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Part of the conversation comes because we have another proposal, another counterproposal that all eyes are going to be on what it means moving forward as Major League Baseball has gone back and countered to the players. So we see this back and forth very publicly. I want to get thoughts on it from ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Tim Kirkshin joins us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Tim, appreciate your time. Hope you and yours are safe. And I wish we could ever have the spot where you and I were just talking about actual baseball being played, but it feels like that's just doomed at this point. So today, in this moment, where are you on your level of encouragement that baseball is going to get this worked out?
Well, there's baseball is going to be played this year. I'm pretty certain about that. The question is, how is it going to be played? Is the union and Major League Baseball going to get together and come to an agreement and make a plan from here, or are they going to be unable to do that, and then baseball will implement a, say, 48-game schedule starting, you know, in August, beginning of August, and then play through the postseason and end everything on October the 1st. That is what is certainly possible, but I still hold out hope, since both sides have made some progress, some movement at least. The two sides will come to an agreement and say, okay, we're going to play 75 games, or I think more likely 60 games, and then we're going to have this great run to the finish, and then we're going to have a fabulous October. That's baseball's hope, but there is no hope of that unless both of these sides can find the middle ground, and right now they haven't been able to find it.
We're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Tim Kirkjian. So, Tim, you just mentioned that baseball, Major League Baseball, will just come in and essentially say 48 games. If it gets to that point and they do that, what's the Players Association reaction going to be to that?
Well, they're not going to be happy about it, but they're going to play, because they're going to play at the 100% of the prorated salaries that they were offered in March. And I'm sure they will file a grievance over this, which is nothing that you really want to happen, with the players and the owners going at it like that, and then taking that into the off season with free agency, and then taking it into next season, which is the last season before the collective bargaining agreement has to be negotiated. So that's why it's so important for these two to at least say, all right, we came to an agreement, as opposed to just MLB implementing this. The players won't be happy about it, but they're not going to have much of a choice.
If they're able to get everything worked out, Tim, how creative are they going to have to be in where they play? Or are they just going to be able to go in and do games as usual?
No, I don't think it's as simple as we'll just go to our home parks and play. I mean, this is just another question that really hasn't been answered. My guess is that a lot of teams will be able to play in their home ballparks, but there won't be any fans in the stands. And yet not every team, from what I gather, will be in a position to say, hey, I don't care what the local municipality plays, we're playing in our hometown. It doesn't necessarily work that way, which is going to cause all sorts of scheduling issues and everything else. But again, that's what we'll deal with after we get through the financial part of this, and that's the first step.
One of the most surprising things to me, Tim, we're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Tim Kirkjian. One of the most surprising things to me has been that we've sort of glossed over the original safety limitations they were putting on. I mean, when you read through that document, you hear some of the things that were being proposed, not throwing the ball around in between batters, things like not spinning, and like just so many crazy restraints that they're putting on players that frankly are part of their routine. How attainable is the actual group of limitations that they have for safety's purposes?
Well, it was just a first draft to show everyone who was concerned, look how interested we are in keeping everybody healthy. And one way to do that is to, you know, prevent spitting by any player. That, of course, is ridiculous. That's never going to happen. There are several other things on that original list, but it was just the first draft to say, look, we have to put this out there to get the ball rolling here, but they're going to have to relax some of those sanctions for sure. Otherwise, you can't play baseball. Players are not going to play if they can't spit or do some things that they've been used to doing reflexively their entire lives.
That's, I think, the most interesting part of it. They're such creatures of routine, athletes in general. To ask them just to blow up their entire routine is just, to me, it's a little mind-numbing. We're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Tim Kirkjian. So I will ask you this. When it's all said and done, you believe we're going to get baseball. Does this long break favor any particular team in your mind?
No. I think it favors all the teams that are considered non-contenders, not top-shelf clubs, because the beauty of baseball is you can get hot at any time. You can go into Yankee Stadium as a subpar team and sweep the Yankees. That happens in baseball. That never happened when Michael Jordan played for the Bulls that a bad team would come in there and beat them three games in a row. That never happened because Jordan touched it on every possession. But it happens that way in baseball. So I think the non-contending teams have a chance to get hot for 40 or 48 games and even make the playoffs. The beauty of 162 games is it's such a long season that the great teams just wear you down with their greatness and their depth, and the lesser teams can't make it that long without eventually returning to what they really are.
Fantastic stuff as always, Tim. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your insight and your patience. I feel like over the last 2 years, you and I have had so many conversations about baseball, and very few of them have been about the actual product on the field. So I just genuinely hope we can get to the spot where we're talking about that instead. And I appreciate the brilliance you always bring to us, my friend. Hope you and yours are safe. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Jason. See you.
Tim Kirkjian, I mean, the thing of it is, and we joke about it, and we've joked about it on Golic and Wingo in the past, too, and when you talk about the guys that we have, whether it's Kirkjian or Buster Olney, Jeff Passan, and Jesse Rogers, you talk about the guys that we have, they're so passionate about baseball and wanting to talk about baseball, and it's just crazy that somehow this conversation has been just about one thing. The entirety of the conversation that we've had for Major League Baseball has been about money, and at this point, even if we get some truncated version of the season, I'm left to wonder if that's going to be enough for people. If you're watching 40 or 48 games, are you spending that time thinking could have been, might have been, should have been? I'm genuinely curious to know your take on it. You guys know that I'm a casual baseball guy, right? So I want the passionate baseball fans to chime in. Tell me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is there a breaking point for you in this season where suddenly you are turned off from the sport? Or does coming back sort of answer whatever need that you have for Major League Baseball? I understand both sides of this. Remember, these are all perfectly good human beings that are trying to figure out the economics of this. These are entrepreneurs on both sides. Of course, the team owners are much wealthier than the players, but they are still entrepreneurs. Players represent their own business, their own personal brand, right? Teams represent their brand as a company. And I understand everybody trying to protect the money in it. I just can't understand how baseball fans, even casual baseball fans, will forgive the sport if it's perceived that money is the reason they couldn't come to some sort of an agreement. I'll get your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, also, one of the best to ever do it after 30 picks last year? It got heated. You'll hear some of First Take about that next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests and you guys can join us on the show. Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If baseball comes back, are you going back? That's my real question here. You guys can tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. You guys know I'm not a super baseball fan. I'm a casual baseball fan, right? Like, I watch it. I like to go to a game, sit back, have a drink with my buddies. That's sort of my baseball consumption. So I'm asking you guys to chime in because I know so many of you are passionate. If baseball doesn't play or is playing this truncated season, are you in or are you out? Cameron in Indiana, what's your take on this?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will be out, and it's just because they're letting short-term issues affect them long-term. I mean, if your ultimate goal is to make the most money you can, cut your losses short-term and get it in while you can and make the most money you can long-term. It's not like you don't have a future when your season's over and your career's done.
Well, the only argument I make to that, Cameron, is what about all the people that this is it for their career? I mean, we talk about athletes so often, like, play for the long term, like they're going to be in the league for the next 5 years to reap the benefits. I don't know that you can say that. What is it, 60, 65% of Major League Baseball players are playing for the minimum, right? So when you start looking across the board, you're also talking about a ton of players. You'd be asking, really, the largest collective group, you'd be asking to take a short-term loss for a long-term bank. That long-term bank isn't something they can guarantee they'd be a part of receiving. So I understand the logic, and it's certainly applicable to the major stars that have huge long-term contracts. Hey, don't worry about it. Your future's set. But there are a lot of people that play in Major League Baseball every single day that don't have that benefit. I'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to get to a controversial moment from First Take today. Jameis Winston went out and said, hey, he's one of the best to do it. Jameis Winston, yeah, the backup quarterback now, said he's one of the best to do it. Dominique Foxworth reacted to that. And actually, it's a surprising take that I think you'd be interested in from First Take today.
While he's not exactly right, like he's not one of the best to play the game at this moment, there is potential. All right, so here we go. So if the league stopped today, he won't go down as all-time great. But listen to this list of players. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger, then Jameis Winston. That's the list of players who have thrown for more yards in a single season than Jameis Winston. Behind him is Marino and Mahomes. He threw for 5,100 yards last year and 30 touchdowns.
How's the interception
That's pretty
ratio?
Impressive. That's pretty high. However, if you look
does that
at
count for yards? Hold on, hold on,
hold on.
Because if you include
you
that, it's like 8,000 yards.
You stop it. He does have the all-time record for most pick sixes in a season. With seven. However, he did throw 30 interceptions, but you know who else threw more than that? George Frederick Blanda threw 42 interceptions. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's an all-time great. Jameis Winston is on his track. Blanda
over
threw for 42
career?
Interceptions.
Really digging this morning, Dominique. Took out the shovel.
In 1962, he threw 42 interceptions in only 14 games, and he had a 10% interception rate in that season. So Jameis Winston is much better than he is, than George Blanda, who ended up going to the Hall of Fame. He's more talented, and I agree that last year, he was historically one of the worst quarterbacks, but he was also historically one of the best quarterbacks.
First Take, your take, ESPN News. This is really an interesting deep dive because we forget that Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards. I mean, come on, 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns. If I told you just that portion of his stat line, you'd be amazed, right? Like, you're turning around 5,100 yards, 30 touchdowns. His touchdown percentage rate was 5.3. That's really good. He was good across the board. Unfortunately, the whole interception thing clouds the entire conversation. Now, before you roll your eyes, yes, 30 interceptions. I will remind you, Brett Favre. The Brett Favre. Oh, God, everybody loves Brett Favre. Well, Brett Favre's highest number was 29 in one season. His highest interception rate was 5.3% in his last season. That is higher than Jameis Winston's was last year. And also, he threw for more than 20 interceptions six different times. Why is it we arbitrarily assign turnovers specifically just to Jameis Winston without acknowledging the issues that other quarterbacks have had in the same department? Well, I'm not saying that Jameis Winston's one of the best. What I am saying, though, is that we've let the narrative shift to the point that we've decided Jameis Winston is hot garbage because you either don't like Jameis Winston the person or you don't like Jameis Winston the player. And realistically, you can't turn around and give all of the blame to Jameis Winston without also giving him some of the credit. Throwing for over 5,000 yards is not an easy accomplishment. Throwing for 33 touchdowns is not an easy accomplishment. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see those numbers go down with Tom Brady in that offense. I don't think Tom Brady's going to turn around and put up 5K. I don't. I'd be surprised if he puts up 33 touchdowns. That's a lot. That's a high number to ask from most quarterbacks. Yes. Does Jameis Winston throw too many interceptions? Yes. Has he been given numerous second chances to try and fix that portion of his game? Yes, but you make it sound like all he knows how to do is throw interceptions when frankly he threw 30 last year, but the years before that, 14, 11, 18, and 15. All right. You're making these numbers as a general group out to be some indication that Jameis Winston is incapable of making good decisions with the football. I'm not willing to say that. He definitely has made some bad decisions last year with the ball. He did not do himself any justice. But to paint this as he can't play is an argument that I simply won't accept. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. More of Your Take coming on Major League Baseball. Plus, a tough conversation around NASCAR. We'll talk to one of the best next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.